Ladies and gentlemen, step right up.
January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Let's go see the elephant! When I'm a roll on a honey.
To the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, it is the midday of the week, and we're here to take you on through the end of the week and then beyond. So thanks for tuning in tonight. That's right, folks, we're here live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. Of course, now you can access us on your Alexa devices and always at am660theanswer.com. And by downloading the free Answer Orlando app, you can access us anywhere, anytime on your smart devices and do more than just listen to the programming. All right. Okay, got a big show lined up for you today. A lot of things happening, swirling around the Parkland shooting. We'll touch on all the bases. But once again, we are here live coming to you from the Relax and Comfort Studio and wearing, it looks like, what is this, Penn State powder blue, Mike McMath, the chairman of the board.
You know, proud to be a Lion.
But there you go.
We do want to talk about that little dance-a-thon a little bit later here.
Yeah, remember the old dance-a-thon days? Well, they still happen.
I know, that is really funny though when you think about what they do, but we'll get into that because it's a great story about good college youth that we don't hear much about. These are not cupcakes that are sitting out there.
That's right. Oh, and talking about no cupcake, we got a fellow in the studio, never was a cupcake, never will be. And, of course, that is the commanding general of the American Adversaries Army, Colonel Danny McKnight. Great to see you again, Colonel.
Happy to be here. Wish I could do it about six times a week.
That'd be fun. We love it.
Well, look, we got Saturday.
No. All right. So I am the philosopher, political mad scientist, Christopher Hart. Nick LoCicero is on the bridge. The number is 407-774-8255. As I said, we have a lot to talk about tonight. But, of course, one of the big stories that broke first thing this morning on the networks is that Reverend Dr. Billy Graham has passed away at 99 years old. He would have been 100
this November 7th.
Yeah.
And born on like an election day, right? And
an amazing career. Like for those of us who have been around a long time, he's been around and extremely active and probably the greatest evangelist maybe ever to live.
Yeah. One of a kind. One of a kind.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. We're going to pull up an inaugural prayer that he has given. He gave, I think, four. We're double checking on that. Inaugural prayers at presidential inauguration ceremonies. And so we'll pull one or two or a couple of those up and play them sometime during the show tonight. But didn't you guys ever go see Billy Graham live?
I have not seen him live. No.
Now, I remember.
I hadn't. Linda had. Linda
is that
has.
Right?
Yeah.
She had. I remember watching him on television many a time.
TV, I've seen him many
black
times.
And white TV, sitting there at the foot of my dad.
Right.
My dad sitting in the reclining chair and me right there at the foot.
Right.
And watching Billy Graham on television. Mm-hmm. I did have the opportunity to see him live here in Orlando. It was, I guess, around 1981, 82, something like that. If there's somebody else out there who was there that night, give us a call. Let me know. It was downtown at the Citrus Bowl.
Right.
And there was about 25, 30,000 people there that night.
Pretty good draw.
Yeah.
Yep, very good.
He was down on the field, and one full side of the stadium was full, and there were people down on the field as well. And, of course, at the end of his service, he did the traditional call down, and thousands of people went down there. And he was a very powerful, charismatic speaker.
Right.
And he felt and believed exactly, and he was genuine. He was the real deal thing.
Right. I mean, no big scandals, right? Like
right.
We see with numerous of them.
Right. And he didn't wear real expensive suits.
Right.
And he didn't drive around in a real expensive car. And
$10 million house or anything like that.
Right. He was, as I said, the real deal. And, of course, counseled many presidents.
Mm-hmm.
And his son now, of course, is counseling President Trump. And so it's a loss for the nation, but also a loss for the world. And he was respected all over the world. And, of course, he had not been, in the public eye for some time now, 5 or 6 years. I think it was 95 when he gave his last sermon, and that was taped. But nonetheless, he lived a long, full life and left a great legacy.
His son is a product of Billy Graham, and, he's certainly very level-headed, and he's certainly... again, has done many great things, as Billy has. So, he's a product of the father.
And it's interesting that his death reminds us of what he did in his life, as oftentimes that happens. And that is that he, and I was sort of shocked to even see this being admitted on MSNBC this morning, is that he reawakened the nation to its Judeo-Christian heritage. And lo and behold, we're at a period now where we kind of need another.
I was going to say, can we reincarnate in him or something? Because I think we could use a lot of that. Not a little bit of it, a lot of it.
And a lot of what he did was appealed to young people. Now, when I saw him downtown, I was in college. I was at UCF.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so his appeal cut across age barriers.
Right. If he could draw young people.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was still at that point probably 50, 60 years old. So
because he was the real deal. Mm-hmm. He was the real article, you see. People could look at him and say, I could do this. Right.
Yeah.
I can do this. And he would admit his shortcomings and his, sometimes not understanding God. Who can understand God totally, right? We try.
Right.
But he was the real article, and I do believe his son is too. And, given what's been going on in our country and now culminating with what's going on literally today with these discussions about saving children's lives, it struck me that we've been talking on this show that part of the problem is we do not have God in our young people's lives, especially.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because we don't have it in too many elderly or older people's lives, right?
Don't you think, Chris, like we touched on this yesterday, and Dan, you were back then, but I remember back in the 60s and 70s, how many shootings did you ever see in high school? But then we had close-knit families. We had neighborhood participation, how kids would play football in their backyard and touching the street. But the reality is church really meant a lot to them. Then the deterioration evolved in the late 60s when we went into this, I call the free love society type garbage out of San Francisco.
Well,
and then the pollution set in.
Well, what you had was the rise of atheism along with the rise of communism. So you're right.
It just sprouted itself out of the cesspool of the world.
Right. So once again, we want to recognize tonight Billy Graham for the great man that he was. And I'm sure he's up there already going, okay, Lord, what you want me to do now? I'm ready to go to work, you know?
Well, come on back. We could use you an awful lot.
Indeed. The president is currently holding, it's being broadcast on the cable networks, his so-called listening session at the White House with a number of people who have been involved in these shootings. Including Parkland, also Shady, Sandy Hook, and other mass shootings, and he's conducting a serious sit down meeting with these folks. And to my what I've been able to watch so far, it's been very respectful. He has Vice President Pence there and Betsy DeVos, and there are both parents and students there. And he went around and allowed them to all just say whatever they wanted to say. And then he is also asked, however, for, do you have any ideas? Do you have any solutions to this problem? And right as we were going on air, one man said, well, I've not really saying anything you haven't heard before. And then he proceeded to talk about why not have a custodian or an administrator or somebody like that at the school with a weapon who could back up a police officer who should be at the school as well. So, this is what you might say is productive. What was going on in Tallahassee today, the exact opposite.
And doesn't our good friend Jake Tapper of CNN, isn't he have an open forum tonight with a bunch of these kids? And I mean, just watch what's going on right now, Chris, how professionally it's done. Everybody keeps their cool. There's no wild emotion taking hold. They're looking for good ideas. You watch what's going to happen on this Tapper CNN show tonight.
And by the way, just go to CNN. They have the countdown clock. I'm serious.
Is that terrible? That is just, they're making it like a show. Bro.
And guess what? I predict what some of the, if not all of the mainstream media are going to say about this meeting going on at the White House here today. President Trump brought in a bunch of people that were just going to say what he wanted them to say.
Oh, lackeys.
He exploited them and all this nonsense, right? Which is exactly what they are actually doing.
Right?
This is a serious sit-down meeting. And there's a young man, maybe a student or a college-age student speaking now. There are teenagers there. There are kids from Parkland who are there. One kid was from Parkland there. He was one of the first ones to speak. He said, I was in that building. And he said, and I appreciate what you're doing. I think you're doing a great job. Now, imagine what the media is going to run with that, right?
I just think watching the demeanor as we see these people sitting there. I mean, they just look so calm, so cool, collected. They're putting forth their best foot thought-wise and everything. And then I can see what's going to happen tonight. It's going to be a disgusting circus.
Well, the other side of the road, they want it to be something that it's not right now. See, this is calm. Yeah. This is really speaking what we're talking about.
But they wanted it
to be the other way so fast. They wanted people to come in there and just rant and rave at the president. Didn't work.
Well, they were doing it in Tallahassee. But I don't know what room this is at the White House, but the president's sitting in front of a big fireplace and there's a portrait over him. And I don't know if that's, we can only see the feet in the portrait. It's probably either Andrew Jackson or George Washington.
It's not Barack Obama.
No, it's not. It's not
if
the flower.
It is, I'm gonna stop
it's not
there
the flower child. No, not the flower child.
I don't see any green leaves back there, do you?
But the president is, I hate to use this expression, but he's done one-upped him.
Oh, he looks so professional, which he is. How about that one?
Anybody who would watch this and listen to it and then watch what happened in Tallahassee today and maybe what's going to happen on Tapper's tonight and go, well, this is what real policy can come from. That is what divisiveness comes from.
What's going to be interesting, too, when the two groups of high school kids, the ones that were with the president, actually physically confront, meaning run into each other at the same high school. I don't think that's very very healthy, you know what I mean, in the sense that why did this have to come about other than the left, you know, supported by Soros and everybody, is again playing their games with the emotions of these kids who have all suffered under this, you know, very sad situation.
Traumatic, sure.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to take a break. There's a young woman speaking now. By the way, these are parents of the children who were there at these incidents. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Colonel Danny McKnight has got some ideas about security that we'll be talking about as well. So stick around for more of the American Adversaries, please, and you can be a part of the show at 407-774-8255. We will be right back.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
Mattress stores are all crazy, and they're all the same. They try to force you to buy a new mattress every 8 years. Why? Would you buy a car that you couldn't maintain? Instead of repairing it or even changing the tires, you have to replace it? Of course not. That's crazy. But that's what happens when you go to any mattress store, because all national brand mattresses are sewn or glued shut. Impossible to alter after purchase. If mattress is in the name, expect the same. A major purchase you can't maintain. And that's crazy. So visit Relax and Comfort, where you'll find sane sleep systems. See how you and your partner can enjoy your own firmness with the same mattress and how you can change them at any time. With stores in Winter Park, Windermere, and Sanford, you're just minutes away from perfect sleep at Relax and Comfort. Learn more at relaxandcomfort.com or call 407-544-3401.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080, the most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
I-4 slowdown started about Maitland, and they continue westbound to downtown Orlando. Doesn't clear up until after the 441, and then you also find slowdowns in the Millennia area. Highway 50 is slow from the Orlando Executive Airport to about I-4. 408 eastbound is congested in the Azalea Park area. 408 westbound is congested from I-4 to about John Young Parkway, maybe a little bit before that. And the ramps leading to it are congested. I'm Zwayne, and that's your answer traffic update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, the answer.
Okay, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. If you're searching for the truth, if you're searching for the real deal, if you're searching for the American Adversaries, you have found us. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Okay, we have pulled up some Billy Graham prayers that he gave at inaugurals, and the first one was actually a Nixon inaugural, and we're going to play that.
Well, that's ironic.
Yeah,
Dick Nixon.
Coming out of the, coming out of the next break, and he did one for Clinton and George H.W. Bush. So we're going to have the one coming out of the next break that he did for Nixon, and then we'll put the other two in the next hour of the show, and maybe a little treat for you as we go out of the show tonight, all Billy Graham in his own words.
Sure.
And if you ever saw him in person, you never forgot it, and I'll never forget that. I can remember that night. I remember exactly where I was sitting in that stadium, and I remember him down on the field and this little stage and the podium and some flowers, and that's about all he needed.
It's great. Yep.
Okay.
Great memory.
All right. Colonel. This meeting going on in the White House, he's getting all different views. I was watching, listening a little bit during the break. There was a young fellow there, appeared to be about 18 or 19, and he was saying he couldn't understand why he should be able to buy an AR-15. Then another fellow stood up and said his sister had been killed, and he doesn't understand why 10 or 20% of retired military or law enforcement couldn't be used to protect our schools. Colonel, your thoughts?
Well, since this happened...
You got grandchildren.
Yes. And since this happened a few days ago, I really sort of, to myself, established what I think we have to do. And it's all what I'm thinking. And the first thing is, we have grandkids. I have three of them that are 4, 7, soon to be 7 and 8. Their future is at stake right now. Not tomorrow, not yet, right now. Every day that we wake up, their future is at stake. And I will not allow any of my grandkids to have to go through what those people have had to deal with in Parkland. And so I have become very aggressive. I had a meeting with a congressman yesterday.
This will be from the U.S. House.
He is a U.S. congressman and a great guy, and he listened to me, and I'm already moving in the right direction with him. I also will be having a meeting with a sheriff, and when that's over, I'm then going to go to the school board, and I'm prepared for that one too. Those three things have got to get in sync for us to be successful in stopping the shootings in school.
Is your recommendation, when we had that church shooting,
mm-hmm.
you were approached, I believe, by your pastor, or you approached your pastor about security at your church?
Yeah.
And is this a similar idea to provide more security for the schools? Is that
exactly? Exactly. I mean, what happened in that church in Texas was there was nobody there to protect anybody.
And by the way, the guy who did stop it was a fellow who lived up the road with an AR-15.
Right. Remember, he came after the guy
and barefooted.
Yeah. And so, bad people are getting weapons and shouldn't be able to. Just spoke with Mike a minute ago. We were talking about it while you were out. Why is it that we can let a 18-year-old buy an AR-15, but you have to be 21 before you can drink a beer? Now, come on. What? Aren't we really, really got our heads in the sand somewhere if we're letting people think that an 18-year-old is okay to go buy an AR-15, which stuns me still right now,
right,
that they could do that.
Right.
But at 21, why don't we make 21 just like it is with the drinking age and make it the same thing for guns?
As a matter of fact, the president said today he's open to that. And in the state of Florida, to review, mm-hmm. you have to be 21 to buy a handgun. But you can buy rifles and shotguns at 18. And AR-15 is considered to be a semi-automatic rifle. Potent one, lethal one, but it's a semi-automatic.
I don't call an AR a rifle personally.
Yeah. It's not like you and me are going on deer hunting with it.
No, I'm talking about the way the ATF looks at this stuff. I mean, that's why they can be sold as this.
That's
right?
Reason. And what
he could have easily bought a bolt-action .308 or a lever-action .30-06.
Yeah.
But he chose this weapon,
mm-hmm.
right? So that is what we're talking about, changing all of those weapons from being able to be purchased at 18 until 21.
That's what I think.
Okay.
I also believe that we need to provide better security on the campuses for our kids.
Right.
When I say campuses, it can be elementary
right.
school, middle school. It doesn't matter.
Right.
For instance, I know of one county that has a school resource officer who is a legitimate,
right, usually
officer.
off duty or on duty
on
police
duty
officer.
Usually. Yeah. But anyway, he is at one school on Monday.
And another school.
Tuesday, he has to go to another school. So guess what? If I'm the bad guy, I'll figure out pretty quick what day he's not going to be there.
Right.
See, these are the things that are so simple that we need to fix.
This is what we've been saying all along, too. If you really want to stop this, this is the way to stop it.
We got to.
Then we can deal with the weapons and stuff like that. But the bad guys are always going to come up with some way to do evil. So we have to be able to protect ourselves from it, not wish it away.
And I bet you, Chris, there's a lot of veterans out there right now,
more than willing.
My age or maybe even a little older than me, and say, I'm ready. I will be there to protect the kids and do it probably for free.
We'll be right back.
I'm going down. FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Florida's Republican legislative leaders say they are going to move ahead with a sweeping bill that responds to the shooting at a high school that left 17 people dead. That legislation will include substantial increases in money spent on mental health programs and school resource officers. there may never again be an evangelist with the kind of influence held by the Reverend Billy Graham. His relationships with U.S. presidents continued through the last half of the 20th century and into the 21st. Graham was a commanding presence at his crusades, preaching in person to more than 210 million people around the world by the time of his final crusade in New York in 2005. Never a social activist, Mr. Graham would come to regret not having fought more forcefully for civil rights. On Wall Street, the Dow jumped by 167 points, the NASDAQ and S&P dropped 15. More details at srnnews.com.
News and the latest answer traffic now.
Students from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, are marching in Tallahassee today for gun control. They're sharing their experience at the state capitol in the hopes of some sort of gun control reform. Seminole County opened a new domestic violence center today. The center is located on the first floor of the Seminole County Courthouse. Clerk of the Court Grant Malloy held a public ribbon-cutting ceremony
at 1 p.m. this afternoon.
If you see smoke in your area, it may be because of some prescribed burns that are happening as far north as Daytona and as far south as Lake County. These are authorized burns by the Florida Forest Service. FM 105.5 and AM 660 remembers the Reverend Billy Graham. Stay tuned for special programming, including segments of his sermons over the next couple of days. We have a high of 84 degrees and partly cloudy. Your AccuWeather details in just a moment. I'm Zwayne, and that's your Answer News Update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Jana Shepherd, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
For most Floridians, our home is our biggest investment. If you are shopping for a new home, vacation home, investment property, want to remodel your home, or need to refinance your existing home loan, you need the very best mortgage professionals working for you to make your American dream come true. I'm Mariah Lee with Patriot Home Funding. And regardless of your mortgage needs, Patriot Home Funding has just the right loan for you. All of our loan products offer the lowest possible fixed rates. We don't charge annoying and expensive junk fees, and you get the very best service and care from me and the rest of our experienced all-star team. Contact us today for a quick, easy, and free pre-qualification. You can call us at 877-377-8123 or visit us on the web at myphf.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream.
Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida. NMLS 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
I-4 slowdown started about Lake Monroe and they continue westbound all the way to downtown Orlando. Doesn't even clear up until about Dr. Phillips. Highway 50 is slow solid from the Orlando Executive Airport to Pine Hills. 408 eastbound is congested in the Azalea Park area, and that continues into the 408-417 intersection. 408 westbound is congested all the way to Gotha. I'm Zwayne, and that's your traffic update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
We acknowledge thy divine help in the selection of our leadership each 4 years. We recognize, O Lord, that in thy sovereignty thou hast permitted Richard Nixon to lead us at this momentous hour of our history. We beseech thee that he will have thy divine guidance and power daily. Help him as thou didst help thy servants of old. Our Father, we know the burdens and responsibilities will be overwhelming.
Okay, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, a little bit of Billy Graham for you, and we'll be doing some of his inaugural prayers throughout the show today. Passed away at the age of 99. All right. I am Christopher Hart, along with Colonel Danny McKnight and Mike McBath. We're here live in the Relax and Comfort Studios. 407-774-8255 is the number. The meeting at the White House just wrapped up as we were going into the break. So it lasted about an hour and 15 minutes, and it was very cordial. And if you can say that it was productive in this in these circumstances, that this sort of thing could be productive, this was an example of it. And the president sat there, he asked questions, but he listened. He was basically there to listen. And anything anybody wanted to say, they could say. And it was very respectful, though. And so this was the kind of thing that would actually push the conversation forward. They talked about security measures like we've talked about here on the show, mm-hmm. like what you're talking about, Colonel McKnight. They also talked about some changes to the gun laws. In particular, mm-hmm. what I did hear is raising the age of buying rifles and long arms to 21. Mm-hmm. In the state of Florida, that would match it to the state law for handguns. And that's part of the problem, though, with this, because states are free to make their own laws as this goes. I was telling people on the show Sunday night, coincidentally enough, this last week, Governor Jerry Brown in California signed a law prohibiting what you're talking about doing, Colonel. Prohibiting having people other than law enforcement, active duty law enforcement agents, as protectors or have concealed weapons on the school. Five school districts had passed ordinances allowing teachers and administrators, if they had concealed weapons permits and training, they could carry their, mm-hmm. their weapons on the school campuses. Well, they got wind of this in Sacramento and said, oh, no, you ain't. So they passed a law for the whole state. So part of the problem with protecting our students is we've got idiots like Jerry Brown and that cadre of fools in the California legislature.
And that's the reason, if we're going to fix this, it cannot be done individually by states. It needs to be a national commitment that we go to make this happen.
Override.
Plain and simple.
Fools like Jerry Brown.
That's right.
Well,
exactly.
It's interesting because Betsy DeVos was in the mm-hmm. meeting today. Mm-hmm. Now, she is the Secretary of Education, right?
Right.
Federal funding goes to public schools. Along with federal funding, we know, go all kinds of strings attached.
There's little attachments here and there.
I can see a string attached saying, if you want your federal funding, you better damn well protect these students with armed guards.
And we'll make the decision
right
at this point.
Right.
See, I don't even think...
Now, you can either pay for an entire police force, or you can go the other route. But you better provide the security.
Yeah, from talking with law enforcement and everything, I don't think that we need to... put the law enforcement people as the only people that can protect our kids,
right.
Okay?
Well, that's what Jerry Brown is saying.
Yeah, well, what we need to... Yeah, but that's pretty impossible. So he's an idiot, and we know that, but it's okay.
Anyway,
we need to allow others to be able to protect. And I promise you, there are veterans sitting at home tonight that are saying, I'm ready, okay? I'm 60, soon to be 67. Some of them 70, 72. But if they're veterans, they know what to do. And at 70 years old, you ain't dead yet. You got a long way still to go.
Right.
And these men and women that have served our country know how to do that. Let the administrators and the teachers teach. And let us have people that will protect our kids, you know? And we're not doing that. We're not even close to doing it.
Right. But, of course, the liberals don't like that because it diverts attention away from where they want it to be, which is on eliminating quote-unquote assault weapons, and scaling back on gun rights.
How about a possible union issue? You know, the teachers' union and everything?
Well, you would think that they would want to be protected.
You would think they would, but where have they been this whole time?
But see,
they've
gun,
been pretty quiet.
The gun thing that I always look at is if you, you know, say, I'm going to take guns away from people. You know, the bad guys get guns anyway because
right.
they go to an alleyway and they get guns out of somebody's trunk that sells them to them. And
right.
folks, that's not a joke. That's the way it happens.
Oh, yeah.
And so if they think they can stop the gun thing, no, but we have to do it together in the right way.
Right.
And we can make a difference.
Right.
And if I have nothing else to do from this point on, I want schools to be protected until my grandkids are safe.
By the way, mental health was also discussed today at the meeting in the White House. And these are all issues that we know are, you know, have a bearing here. The problem is, how can you do something about it? You know, the mental health community and the ACLU, it gets up in arms anytime anybody talks about mental health records being passed on to the federal government. And so, once again, it's thorny issues, but that's why security is such a beautiful answer. It sort of covers all the thorny issues. You don't have to worry if the guy's crazy. You don't have to care or worry if the guy's armed, if you have people who are qualified and armed themselves to protect. Usually, and in most cases, the loons are going to stay away, right?
That's right.
They're not going to come there to begin with.
The other thing, Chris, think about
it's sort of like peace through strength. It not just works between nations. It works on the street and down in the hood, too.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing, as we can see, we talk about, but cause also. And causes, Danny, we were reflecting on, was this issue of Hollywood's getting a free ride. The reality is, again, these video games that are on, you know, your phones, you can put them on your TV. These things, I believe, are devastating. These young kids that don't know the difference between reality and, you know, a fantasy. Right. And, I mean, I think this is a lot worse than we think it is because they get addicted to this garbage. And this is Hollywood needs to be cautioned on this issue.
And if you don't think he's right, Facebook has admitted, their technicians have admitted that they designed these things to addict you to them. They want you to come back.
See?
I mean, they're making money off of you by being on these sites and doing these things and using these video games. And it wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't happening in a spiritual vacuum, to get back to Billy Graham.
Oh, I agree, but these are
because
horrible.
His son is great, but there's no Billy Graham right now.
Right.
We need a Billy Graham.
And that's what I was just listening to say. Just look at how we grew up. We had a Billy Graham.
Yeah. Right.
We had him.
And we had a lot of help. And our parents and things like I said.
Exactly. But he set the standard for that. This is the way you need to learn to live. And boy, he did a good job with it. But you're right. Yeah. You don't get 100% right. We got that. We're okay. We understand you can't get 100% right. If we can get 90% because we got somebody like Billy Graham and maybe his son's going to pick up that and run with it now. That's what we need.
And you know, too, Kristen, even in Hollywood now, as we talked about earlier, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, if there was a fight between men, there was a fight, and that would end it. Now, you watch the movies and everything, oh, if there's a fight or something, I'm going to get you, and what do they get the guy with? Always in the movies. Yeah. Chasing with guns. Chasing with guns.
Right.
Hollywood should certainly be part of this.
Solution.
Yep.
Absolutely. Now, I don't know if that came up in the meeting today because at the White House because I wasn't able to watch all of it, hear all of it. But certainly that is something that should be, you know, everybody, if they want to do something about this, should be willing to contribute to the effort and use what venue or whatever method they have in order to do it. I mean, we're using a lot of time on this radio show, not just because it's a hot subject matter, but because we'd like to see something done about it, too.
Right.
But the solution isn't to go demanding this and demanding that and vilifying the NRA and doing all this other nonsense. It's in doing what the colonel said, what a number of these people at the meeting here in the White House said.
Right.
And that is, by God Almighty, protect our students. They couldn't get into the White House today without going through massive security, right?
Right.
I mean, so if we can protect our adults with armed security, why can't we protect our children with armed security, right? And then you had what went on in Tallahassee, okay, which was pretty much the exact opposite of what happened here at the White House. The students were, shall we say, more rowdy, far more demanding.
Very disrespectful to authority in some ways, you know.
Yep, and but there were no incidents, you know, violence or arrests or anything like that. They let them do their chanting, and they were in the governor's building chanting, "Where is Rick Scott? Where is Rick Scott?" So they had some rally, I guess, on the Capitol steps, I think it was. But they also, get this, had T-shirts, ready-made T-shirts.
How did that happen?
With all the anti-Second Amendment slogans, right? Bullet through the heart. How many more bullets through the heart do we have to take? And all these nice little cute little slogans that they've come up with. Say,
you saw that slogan, bullet through the heart?
I'm not sure.
I did see a sign.
Yeah. It appeared to be mostly handmade signs, but they were very, very well done. So you got some nice artwork there if they'd made them by hand, actually. But they had ready-made T-shirts. And it's like we were talking about yesterday, and I want to make clear, you know, we're not trying to vilify these kids. We're trying to be realistic about the situation and what it's going to take to get something actually done to protect our kids. Okay? And our point with these the kids that have been manipulated and exploited by the media is that they've been manipulated and exploited by the media. And it ain't right.
Yep.
It was funny because I was listening to another show today, old Rel Rush Fuzzbo, and I was kind of going back and forth between him and Prager, but he starts out the show basically defensive. These are wonderful kids. You know, I said this from the start, and I don't want anybody to get me wrong about this.
I think he's protecting himself before the show was over.
He's going, right. You're not going to like me, but what's going on in Tallahassee is the Paul Wellstone Memorial all over again.
Really?
Well, yeah. You remember Paul Wellstone Memorial?
Yeah.
That's when Paul Wellstone was running for Congress, I believe it was, and he was killed, I think, in a plane crash, and they turned his funeral into a political rally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's been that's what's happened here. And that's simply what we're trying to point out on the show, and that it is not healthy for the kids, but more than anybody else. They're being manipulated and used.
Now, maybe willingly so,
but the problem is they're only being given one small sliver of the argument.
And they think
they have the whole thing in their hands. They got the whole world in their hands because they got this one little bit of knowledge.
President Trump cannot solve this by himself. Governor Scott cannot solve it by himself.
No.
So for people to say, you know, what's wrong with, that's not it, folks. It takes a whole lot more than President Trump and Governor Scott. It has a country with 50 states in it, the last time I checked, that all 50 states have to get on the same sheet of music.
And that was the idea at the White House today, because you had people from all over the country. You had parents of children killed, parents with their children there who were in these incidents.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, it was a serious sit-down discussion.
Mature
it wasn't these chants.
Yeah.
It wasn't these slogans. It wasn't, you know, this prearranged spiel. Okay.
No, I mean, I watched it today, too, you know, in Tallahassee, and you just wonder what background these kids had in public policy, history, law.
None.
You got it.
None.
I mean, they're speaking emotionally, which I understand.
Right.
But this is where the cruelty part comes in.
By the media.
The media. That's where the cruelty of this is. They know these kids don't know anything about public policy, very little about law, and it's not degrading the child. He's just not old enough to experience, you know, what life is at. And it's a great Pollyanna outlook, but is it real?
Well, it is. What we are witnessing is Democrat strategy, okay? This is pure political, raw Democrat strategy, looking into the future, going, those illegals that we were counting on for votes and open border may not happen after all. We better get to work.
Move to another area.
Right.
Yep.
And the Jennifer Lawrence thing, we kind of joked about it, okay? But what is she? Who's she going to be working with? Remember who she talked, the organization she's going to be working with? An organization that does what? That goes out and recruits young people to do exactly what they're doing here in Tallahassee. And she's going to use her star power to do it, you see. So, and they already got a leg up on us with the nonsense they teach in public schools, or don't teach, the real stuff they don't teach in public schools. So their job's made a little bit easier. And then they see this, and they see all the adulation being bestowed upon these kids. Oh, maybe I want to do that, too.
This is sad when you don't have parents. Well, you know, those without parents really have a tough road.
Parenting is a major issue.
Particularly
in
an issue like this and a trauma like this.
If you think that in any way, shape, or form, what we are witnessing is in any way, shape, or form not political, you ain't been paying attention.
Right.
And the Democrats, once again, they were waiting and ready for this. They're going to be waiting and ready for the next one and the one after that. And they think they got a winning formula. And if we just sit by and idly by, oh, yeah, gosh, the students, look at them scream and shout and all the things that they're saying. Gosh, you know, it'll catch fire. Yep. So, you know, it's, I you know, we sometimes you got to talk about tough stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and there's something known as tough love. And sometimes we need a little tough love here, you see? And it's my opinion, these children are being taught to be political bullies. Okay? Now, if you saw a kid on a school ground bullying another kid, even if you maybe thought he had a good reason to do it, would you stand there and let him do it?
No.
Then why should we stand idly by and let these kids try to bully our legislatures and us in the process?
Well, I think the process right now,
we're not doing them a favor by doing that.
I agree. I think the only reason they get away with it is because of how close it is to the incident. You know, but as they move further and further away distance-wise, you're going to see a response come back, and it's going to be pretty strong.
This is where I think they are overplaying their hand to get to the next chapter. Especially when you juxtapose, or that is to say, compare that with what went on in the White House this afternoon. An actual sit-down, serious discussion
with
the president on television so you can see it happen. And he sat there, and he spoke the least. I mean, the audience spoke the most.
And he spoke at the end.
Right.
In a very comforting, calm manner.
It wasn't an Obama lecture session. It was an honest-to-God listening session.
Yep.
And by the way, he said he's going to have him back at the White House. Now, the media is not going to be allowed to let this stand. They're going to have to trash what went on in the White House today.
They'll be working on it tonight.
Because they have to have the little show they got going look better in comparison. Well, unfortunately, thanks to the president, what went on in the White House today, one side looks chaotic, the other side looks reasoned, compassionate, very much concerned.
Looks professional.
And by the way, just to stick a stick in the media's eye, they opened the session tonight at the White House with a prayer. Don't you just love it? All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we got Harry on the line. We'll take your phone call, too. We got a contest challenge for tomorrow night. 407-774-8255 is the number.
FM 105.5, AM 660, The Answer.
Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that one of the biggest investments we'll make in life is the house we choose to make our home. So why make this investment without knowing exactly what you're getting into? That's where Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections comes in. He'll make sure that excitement over the purchase of a house or rental property or commercial property doesn't turn into a nightmare after you take the keys. To get the most thorough and complete inspection, go to OrlandosHomeInspector.com or just call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Don't roll the dice on your home purchase. Remember, call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Mattress stores are all crazy, and they're all the same. They try to force you to buy a new mattress every 8 years. Why? Would you buy a car that you couldn't maintain? Instead of repairing it or even changing the tires, you have to replace it? Of course not. That's crazy. But that's what happens when you go to any mattress store, because all national brand mattresses are sewn or glued shut. Impossible to alter after purchase. If mattress is in the name, expect the same. A major purchase you can't maintain. And that's crazy. So visit Relax and Comfort, where you'll find Sane Sleep Systems. See how you and your partner can enjoy your own firmness with the same mattress and how you can change them at any time. With stores in Winter Park, Windermere, and Sanford, you're just minutes away from perfect sleep at Relax and Comfort. Learn more at relaxandcomfort.com or call 407-544-3401.
Stuck in traffic, we've got the answer.
You have I-4 slowdown starting as far back as Lake Monroe, and they continue westbound all the way to downtown Orlando. It doesn't clear up until after Dr. Phillips. 408 eastbound is congested in the Azalea Park area. 408 westbound is congested until about Gotha. And Highway 50 is slow from the Orlando Executive Airport to about I-4. I'm Zwayne, and that's your answer traffic update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, the answer.
Willie Nelson, right?
Willie. Yeah. I assume the bus tour will be on the road again back to South Florida before long. And it's a shame because, you know, I understand these kids are hurt and passionate and everything, but this would be a great life's lesson for them were it taken in the direction like we saw at the White House today rather than the direction we saw at Tallahassee today. What we saw in Tallahassee today was, you know, what we've been seeing during the Obama administration. You know, and that Occupy Wall Street kind of thing, and just on a different subject matter, and
it's just so unfair, Chris, that these kids that are so emotionally coming off of what just occurred to put them through this.
Well, it's,
and you know, they're going to be anti-tweeted and whatever you want to call it on social media. I don't think they're going to get a free ride on that.
Yeah, let's go to Harry. Thanks for calling tonight, Harry. Appreciate your being out there.
Oh, thank you, thank you. I did not see Trump's meeting today, and I'm starting to learn not to question his negotiation skills and what he's got planned and dealing with the media and others. But
right.
I think we're going down a real dangerous road when we start thinking we can handle things federal government versus state government and all that. You know what I'm saying, I think.
Yeah.
But bottom line, let California be idiots if they want to, but if we start bringing – new administration comes in, they start changing, basically take our Second Amendment rights by from the top down. Bad thing, really bad thing.
But that's why we don't advocate that sort of thing. What we're pushing stringently for is to have armed security in our schools all across the nation. And I suggested using the Secretary of Education, using the Department of Education, because public schools get federal money, and they could use that as leverage to, in essence, force them to protect their students. Now, California, it's not as though they're leaving their kids totally unprotected. They simply don't want the police to have any help. And that, I believe, is a mistake. You're inviting, you know, a sophisticated operator to still do a school shooting.
How do
like this kid had, there was an armed police officer at Parkland, but he was somewhere else on the campus, nowhere near where the incident was going on. He played no role in what happened that day other than to show up after the kid had dropped the weapon and was walking away.
That's the reason I say one is not enough. Yeah. One is not enough.
Right.
If I had my way, there would be every teacher who wanted to carry a firearm concealed.
Yeah.
Every retired law enforcement or anybody that's trained, and they can train these people cheap with the police if they want to.
There's actually a very good bill. It appears as though it may have been put on hold because of all of this in the Florida legislature, which would have done the opposite of California. It would have done exactly what you're talking about. It required 40 hours of pre-training, and then you had to have 8 hours of training every year after that. And you had to be, I mean, there were stringent rules, but it allowed for teachers and administrators to carry weapons and to protect themselves and their students. You know, I've made this point on the show before. When we send our kids to public schools, part of their job is to protect our kids. This is why truancy used to be a big deal. And we actually had truant officers to go out and find.
Oh, yeah, I do remember.
Because it's the public school's responsibility that during those school hours, if that kid's on the campus, they're supposed to protect them. You know? And we actually give more protection to prison inmates, evidently, than we do to our school kids.
give them all radios. Let the guys coming back from Iraq who are trained already.
Yep.
Unless they're still
guys like Colonel McKnight right here, right? You got the right idea, Harry. That's why we're going to keep on preaching it, my brother. Thanks for listening tonight. We appreciate you being out there.
Chris, how'd you know about truant officers?
From running from them. Crawling underneath houses.
Door, right?
Crawling in trees.
Nowhere to run.
We'll be right back. Don't run away.
January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the Earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Let's go see the elephant! When I'm a road!
Okay, welcome to hour number two of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, prime for the prime time hour. Hope you're ready to go as well. Once again, we're live in the Relax and Comfort Studios. 407-774-8255 is the number. In the studio with us tonight is the commanding general of the American Adversaries Army, and that would, of course, be Colonel Danny McKnight. And don't forget his great book, Streets of Mogadishu. Let's see. Leadership at its best, political correctness at its worst.
That's it.
And I tell you what, that's a book that, you know, every kid needs to read this book. If these children were reading this book, they might be acting a little bit more civilly.
Wouldn't you like to see it really as a part of a requirement coming out of high school? Is they required to read two or three books on leadership? They get different perspectives from this.
His would be a textbook in my class.
It's better not being a follower. It's much smarter being a leader.
All right.
But it takes some training.
And that comes from the union boss himself, Mike McBath.
It's hard to find leaders who will go forward and make the right choice.
That's it. I'm Christopher Hart. Nick Lo Cicero is on the bridge. We are live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And that means you can give us a call anytime in this next hour at 407-774-8255. The president just shortly ago wrapped up a, by the way, we mentioned this, of course, at the top of the show, the pastor, Reverend Billy Graham, Dr. Billy Graham, died this morning or late last night, 99 years old, And so we're going to be playing some of his prayers that he gave at presidential inaugurals.
Right.
And we prayed the one that we played the one that he did at the Nixon inaugural. He did one for H.W. Bush, and he did, get this, both Clinton inaugurals. He gave the invocation. So we're going to be
playing
those.
The Clintons should have listened a little bit more, don't you think?
Maybe so. Anyway, we'll be playing those throughout the show tonight. As the president was having a sit-down, productive discussion on these mass shootings at schools in particular, in Tallahassee, they were walking in the streets, blocking the roads, chanting and pretty much acting like protesters. Okay, well, all right, that's fine. But they are also demanding, and by the way, they were also protesting in front of the White House today as this meeting was going on inside. And once again, their slogans are all pretty much left-leaning anti-gun slogans, such as, we want common sense gun control laws and we want them now. And so they're definitely pushing the liberal line. And if you don't believe me, how about listening to Brandon Minhoff? You guys ever heard of Brandon Minhoff?
No.
Probably not, unless you went to that high school down there, because he's a student at Parkland High School. And he was there that day. Four days ago, he said he's upset about the media's coverage of the mass shooting, as he told Fox News. He said, and I quote Brandon now, I wholeheartedly believe that the media is politicizing this tragedy. It seems that gun control laws is the major topic of conversation rather than safety of the kids. And he's absolutely right. And that's what's been our problem with this from the very start, is that these kids and this incident is being utilized by the left as a political leverage of sorts. And they're turning these young children into political bullies. This is not a good lesson for anybody. What we saw today in the White House was a good lesson for everybody. If you listen to the Reverend Billy Graham, you got good lessons for everybody. What we see going on in Tallahassee and the way the media is manipulating and, I believe, abusing these children in a very vulnerable moment, that is not good for everybody. That's bad. You want to talk about being divisive? They're teaching these kids to be divisive.
Yep.
How can this be a good thing? This is not what schools are supposed to be doing. But lo and behold, they've been doing it for a long time right under our noses.
Mm. Yep.
And this is, we're seeing the fruit of it.
Well, as again tonight on this CNN show with Jake Tapper, and I'm just afraid this is just going to turn into be some type of sad circus.
It already has.
Yep.
And fortunately, in the White House, they had something that is productive. And they covered a multitude of subjects. It was wide open. The president wanted to hear whatever they had to say, whether it had to do with banning weapons, raising the age limit on them, having more security in the school. They discussed it all today in a very civil tone. And everybody was able to get their 2 cents worth in. And nobody got cut off. There was no shouting. There were no chanting. There were no slogans. And you could tell that the kids that spoke here in the White House were speaking their own thoughts. They were speaking from their heart.
They were grounded,
they were.
Right. Is what I call
During
it,
the break, we were watching the kids, and they were showing some video footage of the kids going to Tallahassee. And lo and behold, they had a cut over the shoulder. It appeared to be a young girl, and she was sitting there reading talking points.
I couldn't believe that, Chris. Because you could see it right on the TV.
Sure,
it says right there, talking points. Now, who generated those talking points, and what were they?
This is despicable.
Yeah.
And we're going to continue to call it what it is. It's despicable. We're not faulting the kids. They're being used in this.
Right.
Okay?
I agree.
Let's go to Steve on the line. Steve, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate your being out there.
Hey, Chris, it's Murder Express Steve. How are you?
All right. Good to hear from you tonight.
My, remember the contest? My niece Amanda goes to that school. Both of her parents are Obama voters.
At which school? I'm sorry, real quick, which school? Are you talking about Parkland?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Cross Springs.
Okay.
And they're raising her to be a good little Democrat. Now, I'm the NRA member in the family, and I have been walled off from them. They will not let me talk to her. They won't let me have any interaction, and that's fine. She's
well, God, it's not fine
time to have a relationship.
Well, yeah, okay, go ahead.
But I wanted to talk about the unseen elephant in the room, and that is the use of antidepressants with children in this particular case and nationwide with individuals who end up either committing suicide, taking people out with them as they do, or in this case, shooting others due to reasons of depression and mental unwellness. And Zoloft, Prozac, serotonin reuptake inhibitors can be traced to nearly every mass shooting within recent memory and many, right. many suicides. It's probably, you might know better than me, 75% or higher.
You're right. You're absolutely right. These and that's
and
something
no
that we have not talked about.
A thing about this. It's the one thread of commonality that has nothing to do with gun rights.
You're absolutely right. And you're right that the vast majority, even that Vegas shooter, had for some time been on Valium and some
right.
antidepressants.
Right.
Aurora.
Yeah, Holmes, all exactly.
Yep. Flagstaff.
Yep, yep. You can just go down the list.
Every one of these guys.
Right. You're absolutely right. That's something that we haven't touched on enough after this incident. But you're absolutely right. And it does go back to something that I did talk about sort of indirectly the other night, and that is that when a child is troubled like this, I read this article in the Sentinel Sunday about this family, Sneed, who took him in. And they tried to provide everything for him, except I saw no mention in the article about trying to get God into this kid's life.
Mm-hmm.
We look for solutions in a drug or in counseling, having to do with secular. There's no spiritual. The kid is spiritually empty. And if he had any kind of a spiritual being, he could not have done this.
Exactly.
And all of these others are the same. You will find all these others examples. They had drugs in their life. And they had no God in their life.
No God. Yeah. One other example. I know a personal friend whose children are on the East Orange County schools, and they go to school with a young man who moved to this area after this shooter, who will remain nameless, in North Miami, beat him up, sent him home with two black eyes, and the administration of that school did absolutely nothing. And so the family picked up roots, an affluent family in North Miami, and came here to Orlando to provide better schooling for their child. He might be alive today because of that decision. At least he wasn't beat up anymore by this bully turned murderer.
Wow.
There were so many tells, indications, safety warnings, the world might not like my opinion, but I believe the modern FBI weaponized by Obama is a murder-friendly, gun-hating, pro-left organization that wants us to have our guns taken from us. They're afraid of us.
That's a
pretty good summary,
very,
right?
Very distinct possibility. The thought has crossed my mind as well, Steve. Listen, if you'll stay on the line and give Nick your address, I want to send you a gift certificate to Cafe Positano.
You know, Chris, when
just
you
for
hear
being a listener to the show,
very kind.
When
all
you
right,
hear
thank
Steve,
you so much.
And you realize, even in the conversation,
and
today,
by the way, Steve, are you still there? Is Steve still there?
I think he's on with.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I just want to say something about your niece. I understand your sentiment, but to me, that's not okay. This is why I'm speaking out about these kids, is because they're teaching them to be divisive, even from a member of their own family.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't right. Now, I understand
I'm an NRA member. I own AR-15 platforms. I'm the enemy to them.
Right. And see, that's not a good lesson to teach any kid.
Nope.
And it will not help solve the problem. God bless you, Steve. And God bless
thank
your family
you.
And your niece. And hopefully to God she'll come through this more wise than her parents evidently are.
Chris, but what I'm getting at was what Steve brought up. Now, think about this too, Danny. Was this involved in the discussion today with those kids, drugs? No.
Well, it might have been at the White House. We don't know.
It might have been, but
not
I'm just
in
saying
Tallahassee.
What you saw,
no.
right?
Right.
That's
not in
what's
Tallahassee.
So unfair. Was the Hollywood effect involved? No, that wasn't either.
Not in
All
Tallahassee.
All it was guns are the fault. That's
right.
it.
And the NRA.
Right.
and,
that's it.
Right. And this is another thing why I say
I think Steve has a very valid point.
I do, too.
And it's struck close to home to him,
yeah.
you see?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But yep. the media is not going to want to hear from Steve. They don't want to hear from Brandon Minhoff. because when he said this on CNN, he hasn't been back on CNN. I wonder if he's going to be invited to this thing tonight. I kind of doubt it. Might be worth tuning in to see, though. But Brandon saw through it. And there have been a number of other kids at the school, lo and behold, who have the same sentiment. And unfortunately, you mentioned this earlier, you're setting up a divisive circumstance at the school.
I mean, can you imagine when these two kids sort of confront, and when I say confront, you know, run into each other, whatever, and there's going to be, they know each one's been on TV, and, you know, you wonder if one group's a little bit more of a bully than the other group. What were you doing this? Why were you defending the president? What?
I would say
this is not good.
If we are going to be witnessing bullying behavior, I got a prediction which side it's going to come from. They were in Tallahassee today. Yeah. Let's go to Rick. Rick, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you being there.
Evening, gentlemen.
Howdy.
One thing that I'd like to say, going along with the colonel's point, is it started with Jimmy Carter when he started calling police and firemen our first responders. They are not the first responders. The coach that got shot was a first responder. That young JROTC cadet that tried to save his classmates was a first responder. And they are the ones that need to be equipped to respond. Teachers need to be equipped because they are the first responders.
Right. Yep. And I believe Sheriff David Clark has said that. I've heard other sheriffs say it, too. I think Grady Judd down there in Polk County has said it.
Yes.
If you're wanting us to be first responders, you know, you need to be able to take care of yourself until we get there.
Yeah.
So
we are the first responders.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the basis of what the colonel is talking about, what Mike and we have been talking about on this show, is enable the people, the adults, the skilled people at the school to protect themselves and their students adequately. It's
and if you control the dialogue, you win the argument. They are changing the terms.
Right.
We are the first responders. No, we have the police. So you need to sit back and wait for the police.
Right.
And get killed in the interim.
That's right.
And that's what they're trying to do with these kids. They're trying to use these kids, if you will, as human shields. In other words, to shield these arguments. Let's run some kids out there and say all these things and then dare anybody to talk bad about it. Oh, they're cruel. They're mean to these students. Remember the call we got last night?
Oh, yeah.
We're trying to be realistic in saying we're not the ones abusing these kids. It's the doggone media and the people who are filling their brains full of nonsense. And then parading them out to the world, to show them to the world. Look at our little children. Look at him. Listen to him. I mean, this is abuse.
When they step out into the public forum like they did, they do not get special protection. Oh. And going through an event does not give them expertise.
Well, we brought that up a lot earlier, that's for sure.
They're counting on the fact that it does, and that's what the media has been trying to impress upon us. But you, in fact, are right, Rick. Thanks for the call. Got to take a break. When we come back, we got Alfred on the line. We'll take your phone calls as well, and we'll get to that contest challenge for tomorrow.
And prizes.
And we'll get to some of the other day's news as well. But, of course, this is all overshadowing pretty much everything else going on. By the way, the legislature, again today, blocked a bill that would have banned AR-15 assault weapons, the sale of them all together. We'll be right back. The so-called assault weapon. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
Folks, if you drive a Mercedes-Benz, you need to know Jerry Shepard of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service. Jerry owns and operates a state-of-the-art service center. Because you drive a Mercedes, you obviously care about quality workmanship. That's what you'll find at Jerry's. When you need expert maintenance or repair work and want it at the best price, call Jerry's at 407-366-6499. They'll have your Mercedes humming while you skip those high dealer rates. For the dealership alternative, call 407-366-6499. Jerry'sMB.com.
For most Floridians, our home is our biggest investment. If you are shopping for a new home, vacation home, investment property, want to remodel your home, or need to refinance your existing home loan, you need the very best mortgage professionals working for you to make your American dream come true. I'm Mariah Lee with Patriot Home Funding. And regardless of your mortgage needs, Patriot Home Funding has just the right loan for you. All of our loan products offer the lowest possible fixed rates. We don't charge annoying and expensive junk fees, and you get the very best service and care from me and the rest of our experienced all-star team. Contact us today for a quick, easy, and free pre-qualification. You can call us at 877-377-8123 or visit us on the web at myphf.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream.
Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida. NMLS 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food. But those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080, the most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
You have I-4 slowdown starting as far back as Lake Monroe, and they continue westbound all the way to downtown Orlando. It doesn't clear up until after Dr. Phillips. 408 eastbound is congested in the Azalea Park area. 408 westbound is congested until about Gotha. And Highway 50 is slow from the Orlando Executive Airport to about I-4. I'm Zwayne, and that's your answer traffic update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, the answer.
Okay, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. The American Adversaries with you. 407-774-8255 is the number. Alfred has been waiting on the line. Alfred, go ahead. Thanks for calling tonight.
Thank you, thank you. Permission to come aboard.
Permission granted.
Thank you. Yes, the majority of these shooters, as I see it, we're talking about spiritually, religious. They don't have a conscience. They're void of conscience. And that little spark that needs to take you back before you act the way they do, and that's why they don't go to church. They have no upbringing, and that's part of the problem also. They might be a little off mentally, but if they had their heart, Christ in their heart, they would probably stop themselves before they did such a thing.
Well, that's what I say. This kid in particular is absolutely spiritually bankrupt. I mean, there's absolutely nothing there. I mean, the most minute of a spark, if any. And it was never brought into his life. And it's not brought into too many kids' lives.
Too many of them. Too many of them. That's the problem, yes. And you mentioned Grady Judd. He is volunteering. He's training any school personnel that wants to carry a gun in school.
Yeah.
And, yes, he gives them the training. It goes beyond the training that police get in the county.
And I bet he wouldn't arrest any of the people that he trains either, not to make light of it. But that's the kind of thinking we need, right? Let the kids have their say. But in the meantime, we're going to set about actually protecting them. All right.
He's putting out there that anyone that wants to take the training, he gives in the training.
All right. All right, Alfred. All right. Thanks so much.
Take care. God bless you all.
All right. Now you can take your shore leave. All right. So once again, we'll keep an eye on this situation. When we come back, we got some other things that we have to get to as well tonight. But we'll still take your phone call. 407-774-8255 is the number. Once again, the Colonel's book, Streets of Mogadishu, you can get at his website. That's DannyMcKnight.com, DannyMcKnight.com. And you can follow us on Facebook at American Adversaries on Facebook. And you can access our archive. And you, too, can join the American Adversaries Army by going to our website, AmericanAdversaries.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Chris Hart Radio. Stick around. We got another half hour to go, and then you got Larry Elder, whole evening full of Larry Elder. What else could you want in life, right, folks? We'll be right back. Right back.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Trump says he's considering backing proposals to promote concealed carrying of weapons by trained school employees to respond to campus shootings. Meeting with students and parents affected by school shootings, Mr. Trump is responding to a call to arm teachers and other school employees so they can react before law enforcement arrives. Mr. Trump says he believes the proposal could solve the problem of school shootings. As a young man, he practiced his sermons by preaching to the alligators and birds in the swamp. At his height years later, he was bringing the Word of God into living rooms across the globe via TV and dispensing spiritual counsel to U.S. presidents. The Reverend Billy Graham, who died today at the age of 99, achieved a level of influence and reach no other evangelist is likely ever to match. On Wall Street, the Dow by 167 points. This is SRN News.
Mattress stores are all crazy, and they're all the same. They try to force you to buy a new mattress every 8 years. Why? Would you buy a car that you couldn't maintain? Instead of repairing it or even changing the tires, you have to replace it? Of course not. That's crazy. But that's what happens when you go to any mattress store, because all national brand mattresses are sewn or glued shut. Impossible to alter after purchase. If mattress is in the name, expect the same. A major purchase you can't maintain. And that's crazy. So visit Relax and Comfort, where you'll find sane sleep systems. See how you and your partner can enjoy your own firmness with the same mattress and how you can change them at any time. With stores in Winter Park, Windermere, and Sanford, you're just minutes away from perfect sleep at Relax and Comfort. Learn more at relaxandcomfort.com or call 407-544-3401.
Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, thou hast said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We recognize on this historic occasion that we are a nation under God. This faith in God is our foundation and our heritage. Thou hast warned us in the Holy Scriptures, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We confess that we're in danger of destroying some of those foundations, for at times our faith in thee has faltered, and we've chosen to go our own way rather than the way that thou wouldst have us go, both as individuals and as a nation. Forgive us, we pray, as we turn to thee in repentance and faith. Restore us to thyself, and create within us a desire to follow thy will for all our lives. As George Washington reminded us in his farewell address, morality and faith are the pillars of our society. May we never forget that. The scripture also says, promotion comes not from the east nor from the west, but from thee. We acknowledge thy divine help in the selection of our leadership each 4 years. We recognize, O Lord, that in thy sovereignty, thou hast permitted Ronald Reagan to lead us for the past 8 years. We pray that as he and his wife, Nancy, leave the White House and go to the West Coast, that thou wouldst give them many more years of health and happiness. And now we come to a new era in our history. In thy sovereignty, thou hast permitted George Bush to lead us at this momentous hour of our history for the next 4 years. As he today places his hand upon the Bible and solemnly swears before thee to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution, give him the wisdom, integrity, and courage to help this become a nation that is gentle and kind. Protect him from physical danger, and in the lonely moments of decision, grant him thy wisdom to know what is morally right and an uncompromising courage to do it. Give him a cool head and a warm heart. Give him a compassion for those in physical, moral, and spiritual need. Oh God, we consecrate today George Herbert Walker Bush to the presidency of these United States with the assurance that from this hour on, as he and his family move into the White House, they will have the presence and the power of the one who said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We pray that thou wilt bless his wife, Barbara, and his children as they stand at his side, and his mother who is here today. And what we pray for President Bush, We also pray for Vice President James Danforth Quayle and his wife Marilyn and their children. We pray as well for the members of the cabinet, the Congress, the courts, and all others whom thou hast entrusted with positions of leadership. We pray that the spiritual tide that many of us have sensed running in this nation may continue. As we read our newspapers and watch our television screens, it seems that evil is getting worse. But we thank thee for the millions of people that pray daily and go to church and synagogue on the weekends. We believe that this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. All this we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Now, of course, that is the Reverend Billy Graham, passed away at the age of 99. I'm going to miss that voice and that wisdom.
If there's ever a good time, we need him too.
I tell you what, he mentioned evil in that.
Yep.
Still got it. All right, that's Mike McBath along with Colonel Danny McKnight. I am Christopher Hart. You are listening to The American Adversaries. We are in the Relax and Comfort Studios. 407-774-8255 is the number. Mike, you saw the movie 12 Strong, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Well, we're going to interview right now Doug Stanton, who's an American journalist, lecturer, screenwriter, and author of the New York Times bestsellers In Harm's Way and Horse Soldiers, which were the basis for the movie 12 Strong.
Well, he did a very good job with that. And I was absolutely, as a horse person, I was amazed.
You know. Why don't you tell him yourself? Doug Stanton, thanks for being on the show today. We appreciate your being there.
Thank you.
Doug.
Go ahead.
Great. I'm glad you liked the horse work in the movie.
No, I did. I thought it was exceptional. I'll be honest with you, with all the activity and the action and everything, I was amazed how the horses reacted just with the noise and everything. That was just unbelievable. But if that's
funny, I recount in the book and both in the movie, there's a scene where General Dostum, who's the Afghan resistance leader that the Americans link up with, these 5th Group Special Forces guys,
yep,
from Fort Campbell, and one of them, the captain says, "Won't the horses be, you know, shy away from our bombs?" And General Dostum says, "No, because the horse will know that they're American bombs." And
that's pretty
deadpan voice, and and it's true. They would charge across the field and fire at the Taliban.
The other thing, Doug, I was amazed how these soldiers adapted the riding so well. You know, I mean, this was amazing to me. You know, most people, you put them on a horse and they'll fall right off it. So, very, you guys did a great job. And if this is followed how the story took place, and just an excellent program.
Well, Doug, let me ask you that. And by the way, Mike owns several horses, one of the tallest ones in the Southeast.
19 hands.
But how is it that you found out about this, and what inspired you to write these books? Was it just simply the heroism?
Yeah, it was. You know, I just published a book about Vietnam, The Odyssey of Echo Company, and before that, Horse Soldiers, and then in 2001, In Harm's Way, about World War II, and after that, I wanted to write about the modern soldier, and tragically, 9/11 happened, and in the background of that reporting, I just saw these bearded, fuzzy Americans, you know, who were among the Afghans, and I thought, who are they? Well, it turns out, there are just very few of them on October 19th of 2001 who go into the country as Plan A, and they link up with these Afghans who've been fighting, and they really do achieve their mission, which is to capture this northern city, and it all worked.
And it worked because of the ability for these soldiers, these Green Berets, to improvise, adapt, improvise, and overcome. It just so happens that it's not never just so happens, but we have Colonel Danny McKnight in the studio with us. You heard me introduce him, Doug. Colonel, of course, was one of the leaders of the mission, which became known as Black Hawk Down. He's played by Tom Sizemore in the movie. Maybe you guys could hook up on a work there. Colonel?
Yeah, Doug, I have to tell you that my wife and I went and saw that movie last week. It was really cool because we went to dinner, and then we went to theater, and we walked in the theater, and there was nobody else in there but us. I thought that was really cool. You know, I had my own showing of it. But I heard about it. I had read a little bit about it, but to see it as I did in the theater, I applaud you for your work with that, because that is an amazing story, and that's what people in our country need to see, is stuff like that.
Doug?
Well, that's great coming from you. That means a lot. I remember interviewed or talked when I was down at MacDill at SOCOM with Colonel Harrell, who's also served alongside you in Somalia, and some of these 5th Group guys were there too. You know, the whole what the movie's really about is about a certain part of the special operations community that you're right, they work by, with, and through the locals. And so it's a new kind of combat movie, and it's a new message, I think. If you're, say, 5 years old in 2001, this is history to you, and it's really our 21st century Pearl Harbor. And that's why I think the movie's been popular in the book.
Yeah, it's interesting that you just said that, because the morning of 9/11, I was over at my mom's house and when it had started coming on the TV, and the first thing she said, and she lived through, not in Hawaii, but, you know, she was a young woman in Pearl Harbor. The first thing she said out of her mouth, this is just like Pearl Harbor. The first thing she said that morning. Doug, the movie did have a big first weekend. Has it been doing well at the box office?
Yes, it is. And it has been doing very well, actually. And it's you know, Jerry Bruckheimer produced it, and Molly Smith, the Black Label. They also have been behind the movie like Sicario, which is a movie I'm a fan of. And it's been doing very well. And the book, this is a surprise to me, because the book came out first in 2010. It's number one on the New York Times list. And I just think it's because we're really hungry for a story right now, and if, of this nature. And if you read the book, you do get the fuller picture. They can't do everything in 2 hours. But listen, there were more people there than just the first 12. There was another ODA, which is another Special Forces team, and then the 160th Night Stalkers are really important. The agency was important. And they do get a moment in the movie, so that's good for them.
Doug, how does these type of movies do well overseas? Do they do well in Europe and other places?
It's funny. I haven't been following the box office a lot, but I just was on today. It seems to be doing very well in a lot of different countries. It opened in China recently. So you wouldn't think it might not, but it's doing very well in the Middle East, for instance.
I mean, it certainly projects a great fighting team, that's for sure. You know, that's why I was just curious how other countries would accept it.
I can sort of see it in the Middle East, too, because horses are a big part of the culture
very
there.
Much so.
Was it that, were you a consultant on the set at all? Were you during the actual filming of the film?
Yeah, I was. They filmed it last year in White Sands, New Mexico, which really doubles for Afghanistan very well. Naveed Nevagon, who plays General Dostum, took an awful lot of time working with Dostum's biographer. They tried to get the Afghan piece really right, and they did. It's the costume did really well. They had 100 Afghans on set, actually, who'd come to the United States. And so I was there for about 3 or 4 days. However, that was preceded by about 7 years working with the Bruckheimer Company. I think glaciers had formed in the time we started the movie. And and so the screenwriters, Ted Talley and Peter Craig, Peter wrote The Town, for instance, that with Ben Affleck. They took a lot of time trying to get this right. And they really did film. You know, it's not an easy movie to make, because if you know the Special Forces, it's about guys in the dirt with a stick trying to come up with a plan together. And so it's a bit different than a normal direct action movie. It has a lot of action, but it really tries to show the diplomatic side of these specially trained soldiers.
If I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, it pretty much is historically accurate. Am I correct?
The movie, yes, the book certainly is. The book has the kind of the global view of that. I spent years talking to teams, but the movie at the end, there's an enormous, some of you saw it, there's this enormous battle scene, and that is an amalgamation of a couple of things that happened, but how what that looked like and felt like is accurate in the movie.
Doug, did you use many military people in the movie?
There were, yes. So there, Jerry Bruckheimer had a couple of advisors that he's worked with. One or two that was actually on the Black Hawk Down set. And then actually one of the guys in the cast had been in the Army too. And then there was a U.S. Army guy on set who was kind of watching things, the dailies and day by day, trying to guide and assist and consult.
Right. I want to ask you about the music. We've been playing this haunting rendition of the Tom Petty Won't Back Down number. How did you guys come up with the music for the film? I mean, it's I think very appropriate, but very cool rendition.
It is, and that was in the trailer especially. The soundtrack itself is more instrumental. I have to say that would be above my pay grade, just as the lowly writer of the book. But I'll try to take credit for it here, but I really can't.
Well, it just seems fitting, and so we've been playing that over and over again since right before the movie hit the theaters. Is it going to be in the theaters another few weeks? Hopefully.
Yeah, I believe it is. Yeah, it opened very wide at 3,000 plus, and it is still in. Everywhere, as far as I know.
We're speaking with Doug Stanton. He's the author of the book that resulted in the movie 12 Strong, the book called Horse Soldiers. And, of course, that's still available, right, Doug?
It is. In fact, don't be confused if you go online or in your bookstore, because you'll see it as 12 Strong, and that's called the movie tie-in edition. That's something the publisher does when a movie comes out.
Right.
In this case, so that's what the book is titled now.
12 Strong.
Doug, was the movie profitable?
That is that's the accountant's question. I don't know, because I'm not really sure of the total budget. I do know that it was not an enormously expensive movie to make. I think if you're asking, does America have an appetite for this kind of movies and will people make more of them? I think the answer is yes, because it opened very strong with about $16 million just on the first weekend.
I mean, I like these type of movies,
right.
And I'm sure Danny and you do, Chris, too.
Oh, absolutely.
They're tremendous.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, are you working on another project yourself?
Well, I just finished the book tour from Seattle to Tampa with this book about Vietnam, which I think really is hopefully the next story we'll talk about in America, because I just don't think a lot of families have come home yet, and I think they deserve that. And a lot of guys you meet who are 70 or so, and their wives and girlfriends and grandkids are thinking about that war. And I think spent a lot of time working on that book, and it's a very personal story, just for me, not having served there, but just coming into contact with so many families. I thought when the American guy reaches about 70, he loosens up a bit, and I think that's happening. So you get more Vietnam-era veterans willing to share their stories.
I see.
Which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, no doubt, because we need to, that's historical. We need to history.
One thing, Doug, is my roommate my rookie year with the Buffalo Bills in 68 was a guy named Bob Kalsu, who was the only NFL player killed in Vietnam. And he had been in ROTC at the University of Oklahoma, where he was captain of the team. And you know what happened? And then they were drafting the Marines, everybody. He had to go in. And within 3 months, his base was overrun. You know, but he was the only NFL player killed in Vietnam.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, in Raleigh, I did an event at a bookstore, and a guy stood up in a suit and tie, and he said, in my entire career in a boardroom, I never told anybody I was in Vietnam. And I found that all over the country, and I thought, after a while, I thought, that's strange, and it's not healthy, because you can't ask a generation of Americans to kind of block out or put aside what really is one of the most important things that ever happened to them. And it's just I mean, the upside is, I think today vets, and I have a lot of friends who are returning, have a different kind of homecoming. I think it's because of the Vietnam experience.
At least in part.
On that road again.
Yeah, definitely. And we need to do everything we can to make it right with them. Well, congratulations on the success of your works, your books, and the success of this movie. And encourage you to keep it up, because we do need more of this inspirational type stuff. For our citizens and our youth in particular. So, by the way, do you have a website where people can visit you or anything like that, Facebook page?
Sure. It's DougStanton.com, real easy.
All right, DougStanton.com. Well, Doug, thanks for spending some time with us tonight and going a little bit long. I know we kept you a little bit longer than you'd anticipated, but I appreciate you being patient with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We'll look forward to talking to you again.
Yep, thank you, Doug.
Once again, the movie 12 Strong, if you haven't seen it.
It was great, and they ought to go out. And you want to talk about an action film, too, if that's what you're looking for. This is about as exciting as it gets. And it also, again, shows you the courage, just of our fighters and then the amazing work of, as he said, the horses. No one would ever believe they would react the way they did, but I guess they really did.
So. Yeah. And then the great thing, I take my wife to see a movie like that, huh?
Well,
you know.
Actually, she probably took you. She really did. She did, because that is something I'm not very good at. You know?
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
For many personal reasons.
Obviously.
She led me.
Yep. I hear you. Once again, 12 Strong is the movie. Please see it while it's in theaters, and then get the DVD when it comes out, as long as they still exist. DVDs, that is. 12 Strong, once again, the movie. And you can visit Doug at his website, DougStanton.com. And once again, the name of the book that the movie was derived from is called Horse Soldiers. All yep. right? Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll wrap up some of the other day's news. And I promise you, we'll give you tomorrow night's contest challenge.
It'll be over by the time we get it out.
and I'm going to tell you why E.T. hates Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah.
E.T. hates Bitcoin.
I saw another guy. I want to buy some of those Venezuelan Bitcoins. Oh, that's going to be big, man. I'm going to put everything I got into it.
All right, we'll be right back.
FM 105.5, AM 660, The Answer.
Business owners, this is for you. Competition is tough these days, so you need maximum visibility to stand out in this crowded landscape. And Dino Rento Studios can give you that visibility. Their eye-catching signs, 3D displays, banners, bumper stickers, and car magnets will get your business the attention you're looking for. Dino will also make your convention display the talk of the event. So call Dino Rento Studios at 800-704-7089, 800-704-7089, or visit them at DinoRentosStudios.com, Dino, R-E-N-T-O-S, Studios.com, where they bring ideas to life.
The news stories are alarming. Sexual assault, violence, workers' comp fraud, and drug abuse. And it's happening in the workplace. Last year, a construction worker in Central Florida attacked his boss with a front-end loader and almost buried him alive. And the Pulse nightclub shooter worked as a security guard for a company that knew he was mentally unstable. Hi, I'm Kathy Santomassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner or manager, it's your responsibility to safeguard your employees. Did you know a company can be held liable if an employee does harm to someone? Negligent hiring can result in a company being sued, especially if that company didn't conduct a thorough background check. With Applicant 360 Screening Solutions, you will be able to effectively screen your job applicants and make smarter hiring choices. Don't base your decision on a first impression and a resume. Call me today at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You could stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
Okay, that's right, folks. That is from the trailer to the movie 13 Hours. Please get out and see it in theaters this week. It's going to be a short segment because we're going to leave you with a prayer that Billy Graham delivered at the first inaugural for Bill Clinton. In the meantime, let's get the contest challenge in.
All right, for the contest players, what we want you to do is help us rename the Department of Justice and the FBI. We think with all the problems they've had, it's time that we change the name for a better image. And then also mention who you'd like to see running each one of them and why. So very simple right. contest.
Give me your example.
Them. Well, my example, like I'm thinking maybe we could bring that legal genius Eric Holder back. He could run the Department of Injustice.
Right.
So, I mean, but this is what we need to do. Come up, department head, name.
All right. And here's what you need to do Saturday. And that's head on over to Palm Bay And for the West, the Wounded Warriors Charity Softball Tournament. That's going to kick off at 10 o'clock in the morning. It's all day fun for the whole family. Bring out the kids. It is free. The softball games will be played in the afternoon. Is that right, Colonel?
Starting at 2 o'clock, 2, 3:15, 4:30. Everything's over by 6, and they're all amputees.
And once again, you are welcome. And the location is Fred Pope Regional Park in Palm Bay, Florida. That's Fred Pope Regional Park in Palm Bay, Florida. And you can get more information by going to wwastspacecoast2018.com. wwastspacecoast2018.com. We'll put this information up on our Facebook page as well. That's American Adversaries on Facebook. That is this Saturday. It's free, and these wounded warriors are amazing. They'll be there with their prosthetics on, playing softball.
Oh, yeah. That is amazing.
All and right. They win almost every time.
I guarantee they're good.
All right, good. So please do come out for that. There was other news today that we'll get to tomorrow, as well as tomorrow's news. We'll try to get it in. But Mike Flynn, we got some news on that. Jared Kushner got some news on his security clearance. But really, this stuff was sort of backseat to what was going on with the gun control debate today in various parts of the country. And the market fluctuated around.
Yeah,
it's still
market,
trying to find
it,
its footing.
It closed on the low side today, but it's nothing to be concerned. The Fed came out with their January notes, and they really said what we thought would happen, that they're going to raise rates probably another three times. The 10-year Treasury actually hit a four-year high today. It came in at about 2.95, which means we're just about at 3. So we'll see where we go tomorrow morning.
All right, and we'll pick it up with you folks tomorrow night at 5. Larry Elder up next. Don't forget the softball tournament at Fred Pope Regional Park this Saturday, Palm Bay, and that's free. Starts at 10 all the way till 6 o'clock. Great fun for the whole family. And then you have time to go and take in the movie 12 Strong. All right, thanks for tuning in tonight. Night, everybody.
Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we thank you for this historic occasion when we inaugurate our new president and vice president. We thank you for the moral and spiritual foundations which our forefathers gave us and which are rooted deeply in Holy Scripture. Those principles have nourished and guided us as a nation in the past. But we cannot say that we're a righteous people, for we are not. We've sinned against you. We've sown to the wind and are now reaping the whirlwind of crime, drug abuse, racism, immorality, and social injustice. We need to repent of our sins and turn by faith to you. And now on this 20th day of January, 1993, we commit to you, President-elect Clinton and Vice President-elect Gore, whom you have permitted to take leadership at this critical time in our nation's history. Help them always to see the office to which they have been elected as a sacred trust from you. We pray that you will bless their wives, who will share so much of the responsibility and burdens. May President-elect Clinton know that he is never really alone, but that the eternal God can be his refuge, and he can turn to you in every circumstance. Give him the wisdom you have promised to those who ask, and the strength you alone can give. We thank you for his predecessor, President Bush, and the dedication he gave to this office. Bless him as he and Mrs. Bush continue their dedicated service to our country in other spheres. We commit this inaugural ceremony to you and ask that the memory of this event may always remind us to pray for our leaders. Our Father, we pray that as we come to the end of this ceremony, that we will long remember the challenges that we have heard. And we dedicate ourselves to do everything in our power to keep those challenges and to dedicate ourselves anew, not only to you, but to America and all the great ideals that we stand for. We pray again that thou wouldst bless the President and the Vice President as they lead us in the years to come. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.